To be or not to be a C corporation? That is the question. Probably not exactly what Shakespeare had in mind when he said that, however long ago that was. But that is the question that I get often when it comes to business entity structure. And there are some reasons you might want to be a C corporation, or you might want to consider it. At the very least, something that you may want to talk to your CPA about. And that's what we're going to discuss today. So let's dive in. Hey friend, welcome to the Small Business Finance Podcast. Do you want confidence and clarity with your business finances? Do you find yourself up late at night searching for tax deductions, how to track your business finances, or for QuickBooks tips? Do you wake up with big, ambitious goals, but you end up feeling confused and frustrated because accounting and tax is really foreign? Hi, I'm Tiffany. I've heard this so many times from clients who used to feel this way. They felt overwhelmed about what to do with their numbers and wish that they could stop the financial madness. They wanted clarity and the ability to grasp the financial basics, know who to call when they had a question, and to stop worrying about owing money to the IRS, but they thought they weren't good with numbers, and the overwhelm kept them stuck without any solid financial plan until they realized that business systems are the ticket to gaining financial confidence. In this podcast, you will learn step-by-step systems, easy-to-understand financial tips, and mindset transformation so that you will gain financial confidence as an entrepreneur. Dust off your spreadsheet, warm up your coffee, and let's get going. Oftentimes, this is a question that comes up from more seasoned business owners. Maybe they've got an existing business or they've had multiple businesses and they're starting a new one. And the question arises, what is the best way to be structured? How should I be taxed? And oftentimes, a C corporation is not the answer. I'll just put that out there at the very beginning of this conversation. It is more the exception rather than the rule, but there are some interesting things about being a C corporation and some things that may give you pause to at least consider it. So let's talk about what that even looks like. First of all, the tax rate in a C corporation is typically what makes people question this. At 21% tax rate, especially if you are in one of the upper tax tiers on your personal tax return, a 21% tax rate looks pretty appealing to most high-income earners. The issue that most people don't think about is that if you have a desire to pull money out of your business, that low C corporation tax rate ends up being even more than your high tax brackets on the individual side, simply because you end up having to pay dividends tax. Because when you pull any sort of money out of your C corporation, you will then pay dividends tax on that. And at the highest income tax bracket, dividends tax is 20%. You can quickly do the math on 20% of whatever money you're pulling out as dividends. And then 21% of the income tax inside of the C corporation. And now you have double taxation. Now you have a higher income tax rate than the 37% top income tax rate on the federal level for individuals. When you start running those numbers, it honestly rarely makes sense if you're planning to pull money out of the business. Sometimes, though, people are planning to reinvest in the business and they're not anticipating pulling any of that money out. Actually, I have a client right now who has been a C corporation for a number of years. He has been working with me for, I guess, about a year now. And that was one of the things that we first tackled was, should he be a C corp still, or is an S corp really smarter? The issue that we ran into with him, and we have been definitely working together very closely over the last year to untangle a bit of a mess, because he has so much money. He's got a lot of cash in the business. He really hasn't pulled a lot of money out in a long time, maybe never. He didn't really have a need to. So he's got a lot of equity built up in the business right now. Equity is basically, I like to explain it where it's like the savings account of your business, where when you make profit in a business, that savings account adds up. And when you pull money out, it reduces that quote unquote savings account. Or if you lose money in a year, it reduces that savings account. So he has made money year after year. He's built up some cash reserves. And now he's at a point where we have all this equity that we're trying to figure out what to do so that we can minimize his taxes. And we've really had to be strategic in his particular situation. We were able to leverage some losses on his individual 1040 so that we could get his income tax down quite a bit in 2023. And as a result, he was able to take some dividends and get that equity balance down. And that's some of the games you have to play whenever you're trying to reduce the equity in a C-Corp and not have the dividends tax. It really becomes a puzzle that you're trying to put together. It is not super easy to reduce equity and also minimize the amount of dividends that you're paying. And so that is the big caution. That is the big red flag, I would say, is that if you're considering a C corporation, then at some point you will have to pay those dividends that are accumulated in the business. And you may not be doing it now. It might be that at some point the dividend tax is reduced, or there's some other package, some tax package that is passed where it is more advantageous and you have less of an issue. That is the issue with a C corporation. So why would people have a C corporation? Number one, there are certain deductions in C corporations that you can get inside of a C corporation, a Form 1120, that you cannot get in other entities. And mainly this is related to fringe benefits, but there are deductions that you can get inside of a C corporation that can be really beneficial. There are certain strategies that I actually do when it comes to tax planning, where we leverage C corporations to reduce the tax and honestly eliminate some of the lumpy cash flow that can happen in business and even out income in years for the business owner. So that is another reason why it might make sense. In that situation, typically that C corporation does not have a calendar year end. Typically, if you are wanting to use a C corporation to kind of be a management company for your main business, this wouldn't be the primary business. This would be a secondary business shell. Then essentially what you're doing is you have a fiscal year end. A fiscal year end is one that does not align with the calendar. Typically for us and our clients, that is September 30th. And that allows us to have a bit of a window at time at the end of the year so that we can move money around if we need to. Of course, all of this is backed up with an audit proof report and documentation that allow us to do these things. Highly important. That's not the intention of this podcast, though, so I'm not really going to get involved too much in that topic. But that is another way that a C corporation can be used. What are some of the other ways? If you are a business that you will eventually sell, maybe it's a SaaS business or some other sort of business that you build it over the course of years. Sometimes it has not been super profitable, but someone will come in, they will see the validity of the business, they will see the gold mine that is there, and they'll end up paying you quite a bit of money for that C corporation long before it's actually wildly successful. Other times you have this business that you are planning at some point to sell or to have a number of owners, shareholders in that business. Because one of the things you have to be aware of is, particularly in an S corporation, which is usually the other thing people are trying to figure out, should I be a C corporation or an S corporation, which is short-sighted because there's so many other variables that go into this. Again, not what we're talking about today, but that is typically the question, should I be a C corp or an S corp? If you are planning to do any sort of capital raise, venture capitalism, that sort of thing, then you can only have 100 or less shareholders in an S corporation. So in that instance, an S corporation won't work at all. And typically, not only that, but if you're selling your business, you're going to do a stock sale. You're not going to do an asset sale, which is more common in an S corporation. So it really has to be one of those decisions that you know from the very beginning what the plan is for that entity, for that business, what your goal is at the very end. And usually, if you are just starting a business and maybe you are not experienced in owning a business, or you're not really even thinking about the future, you're just thinking about making money, most of the time, you're not thinking about the potential to sell in the future. You're not thinking about capital raises and things like that. So this is definitely one of those questions that is for a more seasoned business owner, someone that really is thinking 5-10+ years in the future on what that looks like, because that is when a C corporation would make more sense. Then lastly, I would say, if you are considering selling the business from the very beginning, this is part of your plan going into it, selling your business is an option. Then when you are a C corporation, there's this really cool tax savings section in the IRS code that is called a 1202 exclusion. So it's IRS section 1202. And there's a lot of details and fact patterns surrounding that code, but it allows you to have no capital gains on up to $10 million of income, which is crazy if you think about it, to not have to be able to sell your business and not pay any capital gains up to $10 million on a stock sale is honestly mind-blowing. I even knew that was in the tax code. I was recently doing some research on that code. I knew it was there, that I have a client that has a C corporation. They are in the process of selling that business. And I've been meeting with them, doing some tax research, really trying to dig in to figure out the best way to handle this. And one of the questions that came up was, is a stock sale, does that actually make sense? Because that's what their buyer wanted, was a stock sale. Typically, a buyer is going to want a stock sale because it is more advantageous on the tax side for them. An asset sale is typically more advantageous for a seller. And not only that, but you get to keep all, like you keep the EIN, the taxpayer identification number, you keep the name, you keep everything. And so the transition between the new buyer or the seller and the new buyer is a lot simpler because you're not having to rebrand. People don't have to get acquainted with a new owner. Typically, there's a management contract that is in place where they have the same management team. So it's easier for customers because they're not having to learn a lot of new faces, names, things like that. So this buyer wanted a stock sale. I originally thought a 1202 exclusion might make a lot of sense because they're under that $10 million threshold for sales price. And I got excited about it. I'm like, man, I think I just hit the jackpot here. And here's where working with a professional that really knows the law makes a big difference, because I was digging, I was looking, I was trying to figure this out. And I thought, I just want to make sure I'm not missing something, because this is a big deal. This is one of those things where if you are citing the fact that you should not pay capital gains on up to $10 million, if you think the IRS is not going to question that, you are sadly mistaken. So I was dotting my I's, crossing my T's, making sure everything was done the way that it should be, and realized that their only issue from being able to not pay capital gains tax was the fact that this business was started in the 70s. And you can only have a Section 1202 exclusion after 1993 or after. I think it's August of 93. So because of when the business was started, they could not get this exclusion. But everything else was in alignment. And this is why planning these things way in advance, planning these things from the beginning is critical. And I know it's not always possible, but they could easily save, I'm going to guess, at least $500,000, maybe even up to $1 million in taxes if they were able to use this exclusion. That's not to say there aren't other ways that they could reduce your taxes. There are, but that's a really amazing one, especially if you're going into business and you're thinking about it ahead of time. The other thing you have to realize with this 1202 exclusion is that there are a lot of like interesting rules and things about if you were previously an S corporation and then you decide to revoke that and go to a C corporation. There are tax court cases where the U.S. tax court threw out the ability to have that exclusion simply because they had previously been an S corporation. I'm not going to get into all the weeds of this particular law, because anytime you get into law, it's heavy, very complicated and complex. But there are things that you need to be aware of. And honestly, this kind of stuff can make your eyes cross. I get it, because oftentimes I'm on the end of doing a bunch of tax research to figure out the way that things make the most sense and how to basically leverage the law to help my clients. And that is what you want with your CPA, is someone who not only is willing to follow the law and be within the guidelines and making sure things are being done properly, but also be able to look at it in a way that recognizes when there are opportunities. There are honestly too many tax professionals that are so concerned about questions from the IRS that they won't even entertain the idea of reducing taxes. I am of the mindset that if there is a law out there and we can prove and substantiate and show that we are following these laws, then you should be reducing your taxes as much as possible. Being scared of the IRS is nobody any good. The reality is everyone is at risk for questions, but questions are not scary if you're following the rules and if you're doing things the right way. If you are in one of these situations where you know you're overpaying in taxes, then we are early enough in 2024 that you can make a huge impact on your tax bill if you get started quickly. If this is you and maybe your CPA is telling you no too often, or you're the ones constantly bringing ideas to your CPA and you're tired of that, you want your CPA to bring ideas to you, then go to the link in the show notes, book a time to talk. It's free. It's 30 minutes. We'll go through and have a conversation of your particular situation. I will let you know on that first call if there's opportunity to reduce your taxes. And if there's not, then great. No harm, no foul. If you are in a situation where there is opportunity, then you need to know what you're leaving on the table. How much money are you sending off to the IRS that you shouldn't be? If that's you, book a call, let's talk, and I would love to just see if there's opportunity to help you. And if you would, share this episode with a friend, with a colleague, someone that maybe is trying to figure out if a C corporation makes sense for them. I love it when people let me know that they're listening to the podcast and that they learn a lot. So sharing this with a friend means they get to learn a lot too. And it helps me because it gets the word out, and I appreciate that. So with that, thank you so much, as always, for showing up today. I appreciate you so much, and I cannot wait until next time.